Okay, it's unbelievable. It's you're feeling that. You're feeling those tremors out there. It's not the San Andreas fault. Waking up from deep slumber. No, it's the drive-by media having their apoplectic fits over Trump's speech on Tuesday. You know, when I start to see headlines, things, you know, like, Slate, you know, I get the gal over there, Michelle Goldberg, called Trump's speech terrifyingly effective. And this is, there's, you look at anywhere from, all of them right now, all of them are falling over themselves to try to pick at it. And at the end of the day, the thing is these reactions themselves belie the kind of fear that inside the Beltway politicians and their enablers in the media have over what Trump laid on us Tuesday morning. So if you're just look at Saturday, and by the way, folks, welcome to the program. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790. We had to get right into it because what's happening right now is epochal. But why, Sam? What do you mean? What's all this? I haven't heard any of this. Well, that's why you're tuning into the program. We always try to get us all on the same page here at the end of a busy week. And if you missed it, you didn't see it, don't worry, I'll bring you up to speed. Trump, well, he did a little campaign shakeup. Corey Lewandowski's longtime manager, the guy who saw him through the primaries, was fired. And I have some thoughts on this too, to kind of catch up on that little bit of news. Because again, I've had people come to me and say, "Wow, this is you know, sign of trouble." It's not sign of trouble. It's a sign of focus, and it's a sign of renewal. And campaign people get fired all the time. It's a fundamental truth. People in every major campaign, there are shakeups. And what it does is it also gives us a little sneak peek into Trump's management style. Lewandowski went on. He did all the reports. Went on all the news shows in the day or two after. Staying highly loyal to his former boss, but in those talks, one of the things that he said, "What was it like getting fired by Donald Trump?" And Lewandowski says, "Well, it's not like The Apprentice. You know, I had a really nice phone call with Mr. Trump, and he explained to me that it's time to move on, and so forth and so on." And one thing, you know, so Trump's a loyal guy. We know that. He said as much, but I take him at his word. I think he's somebody who keeps people in his organization. He's loyal to them. But he's also a guy that's able to put the business, okay, the organization, ahead of an individual loyalty. And this is a very, very important management skill, a quality that you have to have as a leader. Because, if you hire, the most important thing for any business in any organization is renewal. You can't always maintain the same group of people. There is always atrophy. An organization, a body of people, is no different than a human or... It's just like the human body. You know, we renew ourselves, we dump our old cells, and we bring in new. You've got to bring in new life. And you carry people that remain motivated, who maintain their energy and enthusiasm for the mission of the business or of the campaign or of the government. And you have to get rid of the people that don't, or the people who have outlived their usefulness, even if their enthusiasm remains high. And I know this. I can tell you this. This is what I do at work. And it's heartbreaking. Because there are many times that you have to fire people who just are doing, they're doing a great job, but it's not good enough. And your responsibility as a manager, as a leader, is not to take their interest, or you know them, you know their family, you know that the consequences of a termination are going to be personally devastating to them. And you have to do it anyway. because your loyalty, you've got to make sure that the organization as a whole, if there are 100 people in that organization, you can't put the interests of one ahead of the remaining 99. That's the truth. And effective managers can fire. They know how to hire. You have to get a good nose for hiring, but you also have to know when it's time to part ways. And a lot of hay is made about, well, it's the Trump kids, you know, they ousted him. And I actually don't believe that for a minute. I think that Trump is a guy that makes his own decisions, but he's somebody that he's got leadership experience. Whatever you want to say about Trump wine and Trump steaks and Trump water, he has an organization that has layers of management that he has single-handedly built and put into place. And so he has a sense of when it's someone's time to go. And you know what? He knows that letting a campaign manager go in the middle of a campaign, there are optics issues. He knows that there's a potential downside of continuity, okay, and what it does for the narrative, and it's a distraction, potentially. But he does it anyway. He knows it's the right thing to do because now the pivot is occurring. And it's not the pivot of Donald Trump, the carny versus Donald Trump, the serious candidate. I'm talking about the pivot that organizationally needs to occur to tackle one election where all 300 odd million Americans vote on one day versus a primary process drawn across almost a year where states vote individually. And it's just a far more homespun effort. It is easier to target individual states on individual days. And yes, I know there are Super Tuesdays and that kind of thing, but now this is a bigger deal and you've got to fight the DNC and the DNC machine. And for that, you need somebody who's got experience doing it. And Trump recognized it. And so for me, what this does, I think your takeaway in this needs to be that he's a guy that makes tough decisions. He knows when to pivot. I'll give you one example. There are times as a leader to dig your heels in, and there's times not to. And Bush on the war, arguably, you got to see it through. You're in, you got to see it through. But Bush on the economy tried to do the same thing, didn't he? Remember that? And it ended up throwing, you know, just more money out the window on bailing out just banks and businesses. It was a disaster. And it led to a continuous decline. And that's stubbornness. So where's, you know, and I'm telling you, it's a fine line. It's a fine line. And so there it was. Lewandowski gets the boot. It's all the news last week, you know, and we're talking about it. Everybody's distracted. And Hillary comes out swinging at Trump. And boy, does she. Tuesday, she woke up to the most crazy broadside I think either one of the Clintons have ever received. And the truth is that this kind of attack can only come from a Trump. It can't come from a Bush. It can't come from a Romney. It can't come from anyone who has, by virtue of their participation in the corrupt political process that is American politics, have tainted themselves. They've tainted themselves and they're unable to lob a bomb because it's going to blow up in their face. And the only participation Trump has had is being that corporate outsider who has taken advantage of all these corrupt politicians. And oddly enough, oddly enough, the narrative there, that rings, there's something more genuine about a guy saying, yeah, you know what, I participated in it. And I know how it works. I can tell you exactly how it works. I'm going to lay out exactly how it works. And this is what needs to happen. This is what needs to be different. So before I'll get into the, you know, I'm going to get into the nuts and bolts of the speech, because I want to make sure you understand and you hear what it was that spoke to me when I heard it. Okay? Because what I heard was not what was repeated and played on CNN. And that's, so chances are you missed it. And that's why you tune into the show. But before I get there, it was so focused. It was factual. And it was, you know, it had all of Trump's fearless, no holds bar, lay down the honest truth without that crazy 10% fringe where you just kind of have a little bit of a reaction. And that's why, look, if you're just tuning in, I'm talking about these media, the drive-bys are going crazy. Mainstream media is literally flipping out. And it's because they heard the whole speech. So I'm not going to play sound bites, but I'm going to talk about the parts of this speech that I think were the most effective, that I think are going to redefine Trump's campaign moving forward. And I think you're going to agree. So let's do it. Sam Rudzowski, Sam Nation, back after this.
This is Sweet James. I listen to Sam Nation.
Okay, so before I get to Trump and I get to that speech, and I'm gonna break down for you, if you're just tuning in, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, talking about Trump's groundbreaking speech and why this is the turning point in the campaign and the parts of the speech that I think you need to hear, because I guarantee you the drive-bys didn't share them with you. But before I get to that, the other day I'm at the office and I go to turn on a little bit of Fox News just to see what is being chitty chatted about on cable, and someone, some maverick in the office. No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. They had set the channel to TLC. I'm not in. Well, maybe I am, because you know what? I couldn't turn the channel. The show that was on was My 600-Pound Life. And I, you know, reality TV, I've always said this is Schadenfreude, you know what that is? Term of, well, when you enjoy someone else's trouble. I think a lot of reality TV, you know, they say train wreck reality TV, and you watch it, and some people, of course, watch it, and they're just enamored, and they have some hero worship. But for everyone else that has a brain, reality TV is this thing that you kind of, you don't admit to watching. You don't, you say, I don't, I just was, I, you're like me. I just happened to turn the channel. Well, but the, there's 600-Pound Life, the ultimate train wreck show, I think. And they've got this gal on named Pauline. And Pauline barely qualified for the show because she's almost 700 pounds. And it follows, I guess the premise of the show, it follows people that are in the process of getting gastric bypass surgery. And I don't want to, what do I, well, I don't want to die. I think the whole premise of gastric bypass is ridiculous. Put down the potato chips. You know, it's called willpower. And I understand that there's people that have problems, and they, but it's not, you know what? We all have our struggles. We all have our weaknesses. And I tell you, I have to, if I kept potato chips in the house, I'd eat them. So the decision to eat healthy starts when you visit the store. And it follows this lady, and she goes in and they keep weighing her because she's too fat to have gastric bypass surgery. Which, think about that for a second. And this woman, she's too fat to drive. She's too fat to, her son, who's this stupid looking cracker of a guy, with a little wispy mustache, he's her enabler. He's her enabler. You know, he goes and they move into the Houston area as a premise of the show. They go there. They're from California and they're new to the neighborhood. And so they only know about fast food restaurants. Okay, let me tell you something. Boy, it's called a grocery store. You find yourself in Albertsons, a Stater Brothers, a Piggly Wiggly, whatever they have in Texas. And you go and you buy some veggies and some chicken and you steam that crap. That's what you do. But instead, he's at the Wendy's drive-thru. And these people, let me tell you, there's no hint of any employment to be found anywhere. They just sit around all day eating fast food, living off of welfare. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, it's unless she's selling health oils or some other multi-level marketing scheme, she's living on welfare. And she's got... We're paying for this gastric bypass, and the doctor says, you're too fat, come back next month. She comes back the following month, and she's still too fat. So I'm talking about this show, TLC. All right, so TLC's following around. So then the doctor says, I'm going to have to hospitalize you. So now you and I are paying for her fat ass to lay in a hospital bed, so they can feed her the right food to get her to slim down so she can get a gastric bypass surgery that you and I are going to pay for again. They show the surgery when she finally does, miraculously, right? Miraculously slims down when they begin to control her diet. It was like cutting into a marshmallow. You know, I don't want to get graphic, but it was unbelievable. And the part that will boil your blood if you're not upset already. Surgery's over. The first thing after a big surgery, you got to move around because you're at risk for clotting. And the bigger you are, the more likely you are to clot. And a clot, as you know, is bad. It's bad news because it will go to your brain. And guess what happens? It'll go to your lungs. It's an embolism. It will kill you. Strokes? That's what a stroke is. A pulmonary embolism, that's what goes into your lungs, it's over. So, she's laying there in bed, and the doctor says, you gotta move, Pauline, you gotta get your fat ass out of bed. I don't want to. Well, Pauline, it's day 5 after your surgery. It hurts. Yeah, well, other people get discharged, you know, 2 days after surgery, the doctor says. I can't. It hurt. I don't want to. And that's all it is. All you hear her saying, I don't want to. My poor television. I was ready to throw something at her. And so then you and I, again, are paying for her to have another surgery where they install a filter. Missy, aren't you a... Who's not outraged by this? Think about the tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars that went to this sorry, sad sack excuse of a human being. It used to be, you know, Darwin is rolling around in his grave. And you know what else? It is an affront to the hardworking people that have worked themselves up from nothing to something. My parents will tell you, and they told me all the time growing up, how poor we were when we grew up as kids. And them standing in line, and they would go to the store. Mind you, we were living off of one income, because my dad didn't have his green card and didn't have permission to work in the country. So he didn't work, okay? And we were living off of one postdoctoral teaching assistant's income. And my parents would go to the store and buy things like potatoes, cauliflower, squash, and they'd come home and make food. A big fancy thing for me was when we got to go to McDonald's. And they would stand there, this was Durham, North Carolina, 1982, 83, and they're standing there in line. And what? There are people walking through in the welfare line with their welfare checks buying potato chips. So this is the point here. Why do we subsidize patheticness? It's not a word, but it ought to be. Why do we subsidize this in our country? Why are we so willing to do it? And this is the problem with compassion and all this other liberal mumbo jumbo. I mean, you can help. It's nuts. The reality is we're not helping this lady because the surgery is the doctor says at the end of the show, you know what? If you don't keep up your healthy eating habits, your stomach will grow again and you'll be right back to where you started. We do this. These are the unintended consequences of welfare, of liberal policies. Because remember the whole healthcare thing when we need healthcare for everybody. And wasn't it Scalia, Justice Scalia, asked when he was hearing oral arguments, the Supreme Court heard whether or not the individual mandate was constitutional. You remember that big case that decided that Obamacare was in fact constitutional? Well, when the government and the other side presents their opinions or their arguments, the justices ask questions. And Scalia asks, well, if we're going to pay for people's health care, shouldn't we mandate that they'd eat broccoli? How much intrusiveness do you want in life, in your life as Americans? But the thing is we really now we're paying for her. We're paying for her health care. We're paying for all of this. Let's go back to Trump here for a minute, because Trump nails this and other issues in his speech. And his whole speech. See, last segment we talked about why this was so earth-shattering and why the Democratic-controlled media, all the drive-bys over there that just want to gloss over the front page and put out their, their Hillary Clinton talking points, they're quaking in their boots. And there's some specific reasons for it, because this speech was all about why we cannot pick Hillary and why a Trump presidency is what would turn this country around and get rid of the last 15 odd years of nonsense. And before I'll get deeper in, one of the more humorous parts of it is when he attacks Hillary's slogan, her campaign slogan. Do you even know what Hillary's campaign slogan is? I'm with her. That's her campaign slogan. So when we come back, I'm going to tell you what Trump. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what Trump told us all about what Hillary's. What her little tagline there ought to be. It's good. All right, stay tuned. We got a lot more, and trust me, it's good. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation every weekend.
All right, welcome back to the program. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And consider this show your political intervention. Yeah, we just like to focus on common sense here. We wrap the week up for you, tell you everything that you missed, cut through all the noise. Yeah, but we do. We just need to uncoddle some of you who have, you know, who have been, you know, weaned on, yes, on all the safe spaces created in the colleges that you received your illustrious higher education. We're on it here. We're doing our part, at least. So you're in the right spot. Talking about Trump and the speech, I realize many of you have already heard about the speech because you went on the nightly news and you know saw a couple clips of it and got the gist. And more importantly than that, you got the gist and framed in the through the eye, through the words, and through the presentation of the media source that was delivering the speech to you. Now let me tell you, you probably didn't get the full skinny. Okay? And the reason for that is the media right now, it's not a conspiracy theory. The drive-by media, they want Hillary to succeed. They are center left, if anything. And more importantly, and I've always said this here, and this is what you have to tell people in the office at the water cooler. It's not about the left-wing media and the right-wing media and da-da-da-da-da. What Trump has exposed is that it's about establishment media. And so even on the Republican side, establishment media tends to, of course, want to protect itself and its establishment. And they don't like anybody going and mixing things up. So this is why we had a speech on Tuesday that was unlike anything ever delivered by any politician, certainly not by a major party candidate running for president. He starts off, and this is, you know, he starts off talking about Hillary and her, you know, her shenanigans. And I was talking last segment about her slogan, the I'm with her slogan. Did you know that that was her slogan? I'm with her. And he says, you know, that's her campaign slogan. And Trump goes, you know what my response to that is? I'm with you, the American people. She thinks it's all about her. I know it's all about you. I know it's all about making America great again for all Americans. So succinct, so simple, and just summed up exactly what we know Hillary Clinton is. Wrapped up in herself, in her own bubble, me, 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 what's in it for me? Maybe Bill Clinton? But she has been on the me and what's in it for me. I'm with her. It's all about Hillary. She's been on that since the very beginning. And I'll talk more about that later. But just, I'm telling you, succinctly blew that out of the water. And then he devastatingly attacks her credentials. Because the drive-bys, they love to tout this. In fact, there was some guy who was George H.W. Bush official, and I forget his name because he was completely and utterly insignificant. And this guy gets out there, and this was two days after the speech. So you know they dug his carcass up somewhere. And he says, I unequivocally support and endorse Hillary Clinton for president. And he cites her extensive experience. Well, that didn't happen by accident. That Republican, quote unquote, Republican George H.W. Bush administration appointee coming out and supporting Hillary Rodham Clinton. Because here is what Trump said in his speech. And I'm not going to play the clip for you. I will read it for you and maybe deliver it even better than the candidate does himself. And I quote, in 2009, before Hillary Clinton was sworn in as Secretary of State, it was a different world. Libya was cooperating. Iraq was seeing a reduction in violence. Syria was under control. Iran was being choked by sanctions. Egypt was governed by a friendly regime that honored its peace treaty with Israel. ISIS ISIS wasn't even on the map. Fast forward to 2013. In just 4 years, isn't this crazy? 4 years, Secretary Clinton managed to almost single-handedly destabilize the entire Middle East. Her invasion of Libya handed the country over to the ISIS barbarians. Iran is now the dominant Islamic power in the Middle East. And this, of course, being thanks to the lifted sanctions and all the blood money we paid them. The terrible, terrible deal that we made with Iran that John Kerry came back. I mean, but this was all, this was her. She was the one that was the architect of all of this. And on the road, talking about Iran, on the road to nuclear weapons. I mean, who doesn't doubt that? You really think that the deal that we signed with Iran is going to prevent them from getting a hydrogen bomb? Are you kidding me? No one actually thinks that. Hillary Clinton's support for violent regime change in Syria has thrown the country into one of the bloodiest civil wars anyone has ever seen, while giving ISIS a launching pad for terrorism against the West. She helped force out a friendly regime in Egypt and replaced it. Remember this? Do you remember this? Replaced it with the radical Muslim Brotherhood. And we, I'm jumping in here. So some of this, I hope you can tell, are my anecdotes. Do you remember Obama and Hillary telling us that the Muslim Brotherhood, that they were good guys? They were the good guys? Obama and Hillary are so politically retarded that I don't even know. It defies all logic. It's not even a Republican Democrat thing. It's lights on, lights off. You remember all that? Thank goodness that Egypt in the 11th hour kicked those guys straight out. And some stability is returning. This is what was so effective about the speech. I'm jumping in here. I'm cutting in, because what was so effective about it was it takes all these key events that we remember, and it takes us back to them and organizes this in a very powerful argument for why Hillary cannot become president. I'm only getting started. There's stuff I won't even be able to cover, but I wanted to give you this. The Egyptian military has retaken control, just what I was saying earlier, but Clinton has opened the Pandora box of radical Islam. There was the disastrous strategy of announcing our departure date from Iraq, handing large parts of the country over to ISIS killers. And here, I got to tell you, this is the part where all the Trump hates Muslims. And now we're seeing what when you take a tweet, when you take that short little tweet that got written at 3:50 in the morning, and you take that idea that's enraged people, but it's planted a seed. Hear me out. Some of these crazy Trump assertions that people spend months arguing about whether they're constitutional or not, or whether he's the world's biggest racist or not, or whatever. Here are his thoughts. Here are his thoughts expanded upon and also refined. I'm going to read from this. ISIS, this is Trump. ISIS also threatens peaceful Muslims across the Middle East and peaceful Muslims across the world who have been terribly victimized by horrible brutality and who only want to raise their kids in peace and safety. In short, Hillary Clinton's tryout for the presidency, and that's what this whole Secretary of State gig was. Or who are we kidding? She didn't want to work with Barack Obama. She hates him. That's right. This whole thing was a tryout for the presidency. And again, this is Trump. This is not some speechwriter. This is, he has such, it's a great way of always just summarizing things up in a few words. Clinton's tryout for the presidency has produced one deadly foreign policy disaster after another. And then he goes back to the Muslim issue. And we raised this last time on the program, last week. If you tuned in, you heard that I went full on this, and I'm going to continue it. And I know we've received a lot of stuff, but and a lot of support. Thank you from those of you who've reached out in support. Good to hear from you. But the reason I'm telling you this, it's so important. This is what it comes down to. We talked about it last week. You can't be relied on to make good decisions in the future if you've made bad decisions in the past. This is not gonna work. And so right when I come back, let me tell you what Trump says about radical Islam and Hillary. And if this is his focus of his campaign moving forward, and immigration is in this too. If this is what his campaign remains focused on, it's a landslide. It's a landslide for Trump in November. Hillary doesn't have a prayer. Back after this, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
What are you doing this weekend? I'm James Bergener, and I'm listening to Sam Nation right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Fox News reported last week, very tragic event occurred. There was a collision, a traffic collision, between a deli meat truck and a bread truck. Fortunately for everyone involved, this collision was delicious, because we all know how great deli meat is on fresh baked bread. I like, I eat carbs. It's true. I do. I also know that if I was, well, let's just say that you're riding along and you're not a deli meat vehicle, and you got a bread truck or any car that crashes into you, what are you going to do? One thing you don't want to do is deal with the insurance company baloney that they're going to send your way, okay? Because what you're going to do is you're going to call my friend, James Bergener, and he's the attorney. Well, people call him Sweet James. There's a reason. He's the attorney that's going to fight for you with compassion and care. He's going to see your case through to the end, and him and his team will take care of you. Don't do it. Don't let the insurance company for the guy that hit you call you and promise you the moon, the stars, and money. Because the last thing they want to do is pay you a dollar. You'll probably get a dollar to go away, but your case is worth more. So please, that's only one thing to do, right? Go to the website, sweetjames.com. It's easy. sweetjames.com, or you can call 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Sweet James, no baloney. Yeah, well, back to Trump. We were talking about the speech. And he calls Hillary on all her baloney. That's for dang sure. And he's talking about, he brings up Islam. And this has been Trump's Pandora box. Of course, Trump is right. Trump on Muslim immigration, when he says, "I don't want Muslims here." Everybody has an apoplectic fit. Everyone. And on the left, on the right, Romney calls him a hate monger and says, we can't ever marry this guy to any real power. And, the fact of the matter is, the overwhelming number of Americans, I don't know if you saw this, I don't have it in front of me here in my stack of stuff, but I read earlier this week, an overwhelming number of Americans want to limit Muslim immigration. So when I tell you about this stuff about Trump, and I know that you are a sensible person, and you go to work, and you have your own, the things in your mind that you agree with him on, and maybe things you don't, Well, you go to work and you're not an evangelist. You're listening to people and everybody's up in arms about it. Truth is, there's a strong majority of people who do not like the idea of unfettered Muslim immigration. And what Trump says here in the speech, in that devastating, blistering attack that he delivered on Hillary in last segment, we talked about this. I went through the arguments of all the stuff that she's messed up in the Middle East and his assertion that she's put more Muslims, more peace-loving Muslims in harm's way than any Secretary of State before her. He then says this. The father of the Orlando shooter was a Taliban supporter from Afghanistan. Speaking about Afghanistan, one of the most repressive anti-gay and anti-women regimes on earth. By the way, he's right. It is. Hey, you don't have to like Trump. In fact, if you're not voting for him, you at least look, if women's rights matter to you, Afghanistan's not going to be the place for you. Just hate to let you in on that big open secret. And here's what Trump says. And this, I'm telling you, if this is what he sticks with from here to November, it's in the bag. I only want to admit people who share our values and love our people. Hillary Clinton, and this is referencing earlier, he talks about all the refugees she wants to bring in. Hillary Clinton wants to bring in people who believe women should be enslaved and gays put to death. You think this is hyperbole? It's not. It's not, because if you're letting in people, if you don't believe Hillary Clinton and Obama, and we talked about this last weekend, I'm telling you, if you can't call radical Islam, if you can't understand that the Muslims that commit these acts in the name, these brutal acts in the name of their religion, if you can't recognize that it's because of that religion, and now I'm going to get even more controversial on you, if you can't lay the blame for their acts at the feet of the quote-unquote peace-loving Muslims who attend mosques that host hate preachers, that host these imams, that advocate that gays be killed out of compassion. They are the enablers. All of this is laid at their feet. And why would we, as a tolerant nation, as a nation that has evolved toward gay rights, certainly toward women's rights, equality, why would we want more people here that don't share our values? It's a reasonable question. And so then when I pick up the New York Times, which I would use to wipe my ass with if I didn't want, if I didn't want newsprint, I read this article by some guy named Blow, which is probably Charles Blow. He's the opinion piece. He's talking about the speech. This is an example of where the media's missing it. They're just lost. Trump, champion of the downtrodden? Ha! That's the title of the article. And in it, he specifically cites this line. I only want to admit people who share our values and love our people. And you know what his comment to it is? Mr. Blow writes, who is buying that nonsense? Well, Blow, I'll tell you who's buying that nonsense. Me. A lot of people that listen to this program. And you know what? My gut instinct on this is at least 60% of America. The fact that your limousine liberal ass doesn't interact with these people ever because you're living in your little left-wing salons and fine dining restaurants in New York City. The fact that you don't know, you don't interact with these people. For you, it's flyover America. You interact with your Ivy League friends. I don't know. I don't know where this guy went to school. He's African-American, so probably got in someplace good. Did you hear about the Supreme Court decision? We'll talk about that tomorrow. Affirmative action made a big ruling this week. Big news. So, what is it? The fact of the matter is that Trump is saying things that no liberal news media person, and even many of the conservative ones, the so-called conservative media, in their circle of friends, this stuff is just not talked about. So their whole view, world view, is shaped by an elite, exclusive group of self-aggrandizing, self-promoting, sycophantic, you know, nothings. And they completely miss what you and I are thinking because they don't have to live with this craziness. They live in their skyscrapers and in their gated communities. I'm going to end with one more devastating blow at Clinton that I didn't hear anywhere repeated in the news media. And it's the dagger into the heart of the email scandal. And we know, you know, so he's talking about the emails. The emails that Hillary deleted. And he says there are 30,000 deleted emails that we will never see. But he says the hackers, guess who has seen those emails? The hackers that were paid for by foreign governments, the Chinese hackers, the Russian hackers. So what was in those emails that Hillary Clinton deleted? And here is the terrible, terrible blow that he levels at Hillary. So these foreign governments, they've seen their email, these emails. And so now what do we have? We have, this is unprecedented. We have 30,000 pieces of potential blackmail in the hands of foreign governments who, by the way, have already paid her millions of dollars, this sham Clinton Foundation, and bought her influence. But they'll have more than just influence. They will have blackmail. And on that basis alone, Hillary Clinton is disqualified from ever holding this office. He is right. And the speech came out. And I can say this now because it's Saturday. There's been some time that, you know, the speech comes out and all the drive-bys, oh, this is unfounded. There's no, I read an article. It was, again, I think somewhere in the New York Times. This is unfounded. There's no evidence that there were, her server was breached. Yeah, there is evidence. And more than that, her idiotic IT guy disabled every security feature that was there. I bet her password was password. That's how stupid these people are. The arrogance. It's over. I'm telling you, he needs to stay on this. And Trump will be president come January. All right. Got to visit the site, samnation.com. Get our podcast. Keep downloading our podcast if you miss any part of the show. Or you just want to listen to the whole thing again and let me get you even more enraged. You're welcome. I can do that. Come find us. Find our Instagram. Find our Facebook. Tell me how much you hate me. I love it. Bring it! Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. We're back tomorrow. Tomorrow at 6 p.m. Sunday. Please come see me. It's going to be fun. We're going to talk about college Republicans at UCI. And you're not even going to believe what UCI did to them. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.